Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment of time. The Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter. We're so grateful that we have this time this evening to study the Word of God, and we're thankful that you tuned in, and we are looking forward to coming back together when we pray soon. In the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at the verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." If I were to ask you, if there was one person in the world you could talk to, who would that be? You know, some young man interested in football may say, "I'd like to talk to a professional football player and find out more about how I can improve myself so I could also follow in his steps." Someone in politics may want to talk to a senator or the president or somebody in local government so they could follow in their steps. Someone interested in music may want to talk to someone on the Grand Ole Opry. But I want you to think for just a moment about individuals who came to Jesus. I don't know who you might want to talk to, but in our study, I want us to look at four people from the book of Luke who went to the right place and talked to the right person. I want us to note four people at the feet of Jesus, and then we'll make application and the lesson will be yours. In the reading I just read in your hearing from the Gospel of Luke and the 5th chapter, we find that Peter and the multitudes were listening to Jesus. Jesus was a wonderful preacher. The multitudes followed him to the seashore to hear him preach a lesson. And there were so many people there, Jesus borrowed a boat and went out in the water and preached to the crowd. I wonder what he preached that day. I've often thought about what it would have been like to have been there and to look at Jesus as he is in the boat preaching to the crowd upon the Sea of Galilee. But then I thought about that great multitude that was there, what it was like for them to listen to Jesus. And Jesus then, after preaching, tells Peter to go out into the deep water and let down your net. Now, Peter may have thought, what does this carpenter know about fishing? But Peter said in verse 5, "At your word, we'll do it. I will obey you, even though I've toiled all night and caught nothing, because you told me to do it. That's what I'll do." Then you'll take note that the great catch they received. In verse 6 and 7, he asked others to come out, and both the boats begin to sink. Can you imagine standing on the seashore and looking out and seeing so many fish in two boats that they begin to sink? Then if you take your Bible, notice the response of Peter. He fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "I am a sinful man." Peter saw himself for what he was. He was a sinful man. And Peter saw himself when he saw Jesus, that Jesus was pure and holy. And notice he didn't compare himself to others. He didn't point at James and John and say, "They're sinful." Peter said, "I am a sinful man." He recognized his own iniquity. And notice, my friend, he went to the right place. He fell at the feet of Jesus. I want you to think about the importance of a man who's humble enough to first admit he's a sinner, and secondly, to fall at the feet of Jesus. That takes humility to fall and admit your wrong, to admit your sin, to admit you have violated the will of God. I like that statement. There's Peter falling down before Jesus. But then if you take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, notice if you will kindly that at this time you find a woman. And notice this woman came into the house of Simon, who was at that time showing hospitality to Jesus. And notice in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter that she begins to wash the feet of Jesus and wipe them with her hair. In your Bible, you'll see that she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and then she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Notice she starts out standing, but then she kneels to the feet of Jesus and washes his feet with her tears. Can you imagine that occasion where this woman is there and she anoints the feet of Jesus, wipes his feet with her hair? And what kind of woman was she? Well, Simon the Pharisee said she was a sinner. Simon is so quick to point that out. But look at what Jesus does for her. In the book of Luke in the 7th chapter, notice that Jesus is willing to blot out her sin. He said, "Your sins are forgiven. Go." Have you ever thought that Jesus was willing to forgive her sin? Notice what he says in verse 48. "Your sins are forgiven." Oh, I like that statement. This woman came by faith and washed the feet of Jesus. She fell to the feet of Jesus. And notice, my friend, she didn't talk about the Pharisee sins or that they were hypocrites. She just admitted she was a sinner. And like Peter, she went to the right place. She fell at the feet of Jesus. So in the book of Luke in the 5th chapter, I see Peter falling at the feet of Jesus. And then I turn my Bible over a couple chapters and I see this woman with a past falling at the feet of Jesus. But then if you take your Bible, turn another page to the book of Luke in the 8th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 8th chapter, look if you will kindly at verse 41. At verse 41, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying." Look at this man. This man came, and this man fell at the feet of Jesus. Notice, he is a man who is a ruler, one who had authority. And notice, my friend, he is willing to humble himself and fall at the feet of Jesus. He came begging Christ to come to his house because his only daughter, 12 years of age, was dying. And this man was not too proud to beg. This man was not too proud to come and fall at the feet of Jesus. He was at the right place. He said, "Come." He's begging Jesus to come for his 12-year-old daughter. Oh, I would that I could get into your heart the humility of that man. He was a ruler. He was one in the synagogue. He had authority. And yet that man came to the right place. He fell at the feet of Jesus. But then if you take your Bible, turn again to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter. And notice again in the book of Luke and the 10th chapter, we have somebody falling at the feet of Jesus. And this time, it's Mary. Look, if you will, at verse 38. In the book of Luke in the 10th chapter in verse 38, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Look where Mary is. Martha had invited Jesus and his disciples to her house for a meal. She's busy preparing it, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. And Martha complains, "Do you not care? She's left me to do all the work." I wonder why she didn't tell Mary to help her instead of telling Jesus. But one thing I do know, Mary was at the right place at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus told Martha, "She's doing the right thing. Mary's listening to my word." Now, Jesus loved Martha, but Jesus told her that your sister Mary has chosen to do what is right and to do what is needed. To sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson series. You want to know where every single one of us needs to be? At the feet of Jesus. if we sit at the feet of Jesus, we would not be gossiping. We would not be running around tearing each other down. We wouldn't be envious of one another, but we would try to encourage one another, and we would sit where we need to be, at the right place, at the right person's feet, the feet of Jesus. And if we were at the feet of Jesus like Mary, we would learn what we need to do to make us better. Now, just who needs to be at the feet of Jesus? First of all, preachers need to be at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes if we're not careful, preachers can become so haughty and self-promoting that we forget that we're to be talking about Christ. We're to be promoting Christ. And we need to be preaching the truth of God, and we need to be humble enough to fall at the feet of Jesus and admit our sin and our transgression and our wrong. Oh, I would that I would remember in my own life that I need to be at the feet of Jesus. But I'll tell you, elders need to be at the feet of Jesus. An elder cannot be a great leader unless he first is a great follower of Christ. And elders need to be at the feet of Jesus. They need to make sure that they are following the chief shepherd. But then I'll tell you, every member needs to sit at his feet. Every individual needs to be at the feet of the Son of God. If we fell at the feet of Jesus, we would not be haughty, we would not be self-righteous, we wouldn't be strutting around like a peacock, but we would humble ourselves and see our need for Christ. As we mentioned earlier from the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, when we talked this morning about Isaiah sawing the vision of God, what did he say? He said, "I am a man of unclean lips." He saw himself as a sinner. Instead of condemning everyone else, he saw his own sin first. We first better fall at the feet of Jesus with our sins. You know, I've noticed one thing in life. It's so easy to point out the sins of others and then try to justify the same sin in my life, saying I have extenuating circumstances. Oh, no, my friend. So often we want to look at others when we need to examine self first. But that brings up something else. The greatest place to be is at the feet of Jesus. If I could get you to sit at the feet of Jesus, I would not have any trouble getting you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I would I had the ability to speak like I would, to be able to put into your heart the importance of being at the feet of Jesus. You know, some people talk about baptism, and they'll belittle baptism. They'll say they don't see any sense in it. My friend, Jesus didn't tell you to see any sense in it. He told you to do it. And in Mark 16:16, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." I'll tell you, if you're at the feet of Jesus, you won't quibble about what he says. You'll just do what he says. But that brings up something else. Do you have faith enough to do as Jesus says? Do you have faith enough to obey? And the only way you'll have faith enough to obey him is to humble yourself, strip yourself of pride, and fall to his feet. How can you call him Lord and not do what he says? Jesus brings that out in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. He says, "How can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the will of my Father?" So that brings up another thought. And this is of the utmost importance. Someday, you and I will be brought to the feet of Jesus. In the Philippian letter in the 2nd chapter, it said, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." I'll tell you, in the day of judgment, you will bow before the King. You may never bow this side of eternity, but you'll bow. You'll be lost because you didn't fall to the feet of Jesus and obey him. But I'll tell you something, you will bow before him. But the time to fall at his feet is now. That brings up one last thought in the lesson, Jude. When a loved one dies, where do we go? When you're facing trials and troubles and heartaches, where do you go? To Jesus. Why? He's the only one who can tell us about the life after the grave. One day, we all will be at the feet of Jesus in judgment. The question is, have we fallen down now so when we fall before him in judgment, we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom." Or will we hear, "Depart, I never knew you"? We need to fall at the feet of Jesus and obey. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we're so thankful that we've had this time to study your word. We're thankful, Father, for those who fall at the feet of your Son and obey his will. We're thankful, Father, for those who are humble enough to admit their sin, confess their wrong, and not try to hide their wrongs, but confess them to you and to make their life right. We're mindful of those who've never been baptized by faith into Christ, and we pray that they will obey. We pray, Father, that we always fall at the feet of your Son, and we pray that we live in such a way that when this life is over, we can be around his throne forever, worshiping him. This we pray in Jesus' name.